Everything you need to know, you learned in kindergarten. Say please and thank you. Be kind. Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for women who are just beginning their beer journey, or for ladies who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones, and I'm the gal pal you never knew you had. Now, today on the show, I am so excited to introduce all of you to my friend, one of my very first beer teachers, and just a badass lady, Laura Bruins. I'll let her go ahead and introduce herself and talk a little bit about her background, but a little bit of kind of what the goal was on this episode. So initially, my plan was to talk to Laura just because she has taught me so much about the history and science of beer. I really wanted to talk to her about hops, but when we were recording, kind of this cool other topic came up, just talking about women specifically in the craft beer space. There have been some big things that have come up, some kind of an ugly side of craft beer kind of reared its head this year. And I think it's really important to talk about it. So today on the show, we put hops on pause just for a hot second. I promise we're going to talk about them next week. But we talk about women in the craft beer space, what's been going on, and how we can help to be a part of the solution. Let's hop to it. Well, Laura, welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast. I am so excited to have you here today. And we're going to talk a little bit about hops.
Awesome, Natalie. Thanks for having me. I'm also very excited to be here and chat. And I'm sure we'll probably deviate a little bit, but that'll be fun too. So
a little bit. I should warn everybody listening. Laura and I have already started drinking before we hit the record button. So it's probably going to make our jokes a little bit better, but we might get a few more tangents, and that's all right.
I mean, I'll definitely laugh at my own jokes. So, you know.
Well, you're in very, very good company. Well, before we totally dive into all things hops, Laura, I'd love if you would just take a couple of minutes, tell us your beer story. How did you get involved in this space? And really, who do you work with in the beer space?
Oh, what a great story. So the first evidence of my beer story is at 8 months old, where I have a picture of myself just downing a Hams can of beer.
Perfect.
But really a part of that story is just my background is a very Midwest German Catholic background, and beer was never a taboo item in our house. My parents regularly drank beer. My grandparents drank beer. Everybody drank beer. As a kid, if I wanted a sip of beer, it was like, here, have a sip of beer. Even in high school, if I wanted to have a beer with my parents, it's totally fine. And, you know, it definitely was that kind of German lager style, like macro beers that, you know, a lot of us probably drank for our first beer ever. But I really liked that beer wasn't like this sin or, it was just part of our culture, I guess.
Sure.
And, I never really drank beer to get drunk. You know, sometimes that happens, but that was never, it was just like, it was what you do to be social and it was fun and whatnot. And then when I went to college, I came to CU Boulder for college in the mid 90s. And that was really when this kind of wave of craft beer really started to just start to take off. And they didn't even call it craft beer then, they called it microbrews. And, you know, we had Left Hand was baby, you know, even Fat Tire was baby, you know, New Belgium, I mean, compared to what they are now. And they were all putting out these amber beers and we were right in the heart of it. I mean, so I tell people about my college experience. I said, yeah, we used to get kegs of Fat Tire because they were pretty much the same price of getting kegs of Coors Light.
And what I didn't a much know. Better experience.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I mean, I didn't know, like, I was like, oh, this is just how Colorado does beer. And it was always these ambers, right? Breckenridge Avalanche, Single Track, Fat Tire. That was pretty much it. Then I graduated college and I didn't drink a whole lot in college. That's a whole other story. I was an athlete, so I was pretty tied up with that. But after college, when I kind of upped my personal intake of beer was also when I was like extremely poor. And I was like, damn, like I can't afford expensive fat tire. So I kind of went back to that macro beer for a while. And then, you know, as life happens, you grow up. You know, I really got into the wine world, which is actually a very natural progression into craft beer and vice versa. If you're pretty knowledgeable in one, it's really easy to segue over into the other. And so as I moved back, I moved and lived in the mountains for a long time. And then I made my way back to the Front Range. And when I moved back to Denver, I believe there were 4 craft breweries in Denver. And it wasn't that long ago, I promise. And just that was became the thing to do. You know, I mean, I was in my young to mid 30s. You know, I'm not going to nightclubs. I'm not staying out late. I'm not fighting for a spot at the bar for a martini. I wanted to day drink and chill with my friends, and craft brewery was kind of the thing. So fast forward a little bit of time. One of my brothers and I, we actually opened a brewery here in Denver. And we actually just closed the doors couple months ago, which was sad, but there's good reasons behind it. And, you know, I won't get into it too much, but I was a craft brewery owner for 6.5 years.
Which is awesome. I should mention, I frequented this brewery and you guys made some pretty cool stuff. So whenever you come back, because I don't think it's an if, I think it's a when, I will be the first one.
Thank you. obviously being in the craft brewer industry was eye-opening on a lot of levels, but especially being a female in the craft beer industry, and especially even as recent as 6.5 years ago, it has changed dramatically. I'm hoping for the better. And as many people know, Denver is kind of one of the forefront cities on that, you know, Denver, Portland, Oregon, California. I mean, many cities in California, this is where the craft beer industry is making its headway. That's not to say there's not other craft beer destinations in the United States that aren't amazing. I'll give a shout out to Grand Rapids, Michigan for one of those right now. But I think still we're considered one of the leaders in the industry, our town or the state of Colorado. So one of the things I really started noticing almost immediately is that I had a lot of customers who were maybe your non-traditional customers. So they weren't white males in their 30s who were nervous about asking questions about beer or admitting, I'm not sure if I like beer or, you know, I just don't know anything about beer. And they were very sheepish in those questions. And I just kind of thought, well, that's horseshit, right? I mean, you're drinking the product, you're paying for the product. You should get a product that is going to suit you. And you shouldn't feel nervous to ask questions or feel stupid. You know, that's really what it was. I think these people had felt stupid. So my brother and I actually both have a huge long background in education. We both have our master's degrees in education, blah, blah, blah. And I just told him, we got to create classes. We got to do something. We got to invite these people into the craft beer fold because there's a place for them. And quite honestly, from a business point of view, they got money too, right? Mm-hmm. So how can we make these non-traditional, you know, genres of people want to come to our brewery and be there and spend their money and have their birthday parties there and whatnot. So we started with some basic classes, my brother and I. They were co-ed, and you know who was showing up were our lovely friends, and bless their hearts, you know, thanks for supporting us, but they weren't getting any traction. And I just thought we weren't really getting a whole lot of women. And then the men who were showing up, they already knew everything about craft beer, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure they told you that everything too. I can only imagine.
I just had another light bulb moment shortly thereafter. I said, I'm going to create a whole series of classes or women's only beer classes. And they took off and they were amazing. And people met some of their best friends in these classes. I met some good people through these classes that are my friends, business partners. I had everybody from other female-owned brewery owners, they own breweries, to women in their 60s who were like, I don't even think I like beer. And walking out of my classes, having one of the most sophisticated palates ever, they didn't even realize it, but they like these super high-end sours. And I was like, you do realize like this is a very sophisticated palate. So yeah. Not only do you like beer, but you like some like really rare, expensive stuff. So it was really cool. And a lot of things kind of twisted off of that. We did beer tours that were women owned breweries. And, you know, I did food pairings with women owned catering companies, and I've done cheese and wine and beer. Like, how did the three of those mix? It's been so fun. So when Factotum ceased to exist, it took me about 2 weeks, but I said, I've got to spin this off. I got to spin this whole thing off. I got to keep this going. It is so inspiring for me to educate people on beer. It's so fun. And so I'm launching Craft Beer Uncovered. And, you know, it's going to take on a lot of forms, but really it's like, yeah, let's get a group of people together. And, you know, what is it do you want to know? Do you want to know what your palate is? We can do that. Do you want to know about history of craft beer regions of the world? We can do that. You know, do you want to, you know, pair beers with cheeses? Like, so there's a lot of kind of options out there. I want to introduce a whole new class. I got to do some research on it called breakfast beers, because I think there's a whole genre of beers that you can have for breakfast. And I don't mean just the time of day, right?
No, like a dinner, you know? Like people have breakfast for dinner all the time. I know exactly what, like the syrup, the coffee, the.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite breakfast beers, like if I'm going somewhere to brunch, I don't drink a lot of hard alcohol. It just doesn't. I don't agree with it. So if other people are drinking, I will drink a beer or a Michelada, but sometimes I just want like a fruity beer. I love Dry Dock's Apricot Blonde.
Yep.
I mean, it is a great,
a classic. Sometimes, a quick side note, sometimes I forget that Dry Dock is a craft like brewery, yeah, and they're so independently owned because they have such amazing distribution and they make such a consistent product, but they like, they're a craft product and they do it. It's one of my mom's favorites too. So mom, I know you're listening to this. So there's your shout out for the day. But yeah, no, I agree. Great breakfast beer.
Yeah. So like lots of fun topics on that. And I truly believe that if you're a good teacher, you're a good teacher, right? You can make the topic come alive for people and you can explain things in six different ways. That's what makes a good teacher. There are a lot of people out there with a lot of knowledge about craft beer, but they cannot convey it. I mean, I've been to craft beer conferences where people are literally reading a PowerPoint slide, right? That has two paragraphs of words on it. And I'm like, you are a genius at what you do, but this is the worst way to try to like reach people. Yeah. Like, it's just excruciating, right? I'm like, just give it to me. Let me present your stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But I love that challenge too of like, okay, hey, breakfast beers are an idea. So let's throw it out there. So this is pretty new. Right now, I put together a really, I'll be honest, it's a really shoddy website.
I liked it. I thought it was just fine together. For what it is.
And I'll tell you what my strengths are. And it's not social media and websites. So I do have a good friend of mine right now. She's really helping me with branding. We're going to get a logo. And I think hopefully by the new year, it's going to look pretty polished and pretty awesome. But I'm already booking classes with like local tap rooms and some private parties and hoping to kind of do some like team building, maybe on the corporate level or like something like with you, like we do an art project and then we have beers and we talk about it and lots of doors opening. And I'm just really excited about it. So I know that was not very quick, but.
No, I think like, if it is not clear to listeners out there why I wanted to bring you on the podcast, then like rewind and re-listen to the past 5 minutes. Like I think what I love so much about you, not only have you been a beer like mentor to me, but you've really shown me that women can take over this space in a way so uniquely and unapologetically themselves. Like Laura was the first one that I called when I was like, I think I'm going to start this company and it's called Beer Feelings. And it's not going to talk really about history or science. It's just going to be about flavors. And to have another female in the industry be able to give me the confidence to like, yeah, you go out there and you do that. And people need to hear this message and people need to experience the space in a non mansplain, lumberjack, snooty tootie, like,
or this
is everybody's drink.
Yeah. You know, and I tell people too, you know, I am Gen X, and I think all of us Gen Xers, we got a little bit of like angry Courtney Love inside of us. And, you know, I mean, we just do, yeah, I don't take shit from anyone, but you know, you also, unfortunately, as a female, yeah, you can say, I'm not going to take shit from anybody, but you got to be smart. You have to think about your safety, right? And so that was part of this, was when I started out in the beer industry, I was single. I didn't have a ring on my finger. And you go to these networking events and you think, oh, I'm just coming here to network. And of course, there's free beer, like whatever. But, you know, it's a networking event. It's professional. And I found that it really wasn't. And that really pissed me off, right? Because it pissed me off because I had felt guarded, right? I couldn't just network and be myself. But it also was just like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm here. I deserve this space just as much as anybody else. And I'll tell you what, I mean, as sad as it is, as soon as I got married, thankfully my husband loves craft beer, but I was like, you're coming with me to these events. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I need to make this presence that like, I'm here to work. I'm not here to flirt, you know, mm-hmm. and it's improved, you know, people take me more seriously now, and it's sad and it's gross and I hate that that's true, but it's true. So,
sure. I mean, because you've seen so many changes in the beer industry, can you talk a little bit about how things have changed, mm-hmm. and then maybe talk a little bit just for those, like, I know I'm pretty involved in the craft beer industry because yeah. that's what I do for work. And that's what I'm excited yeah. about. But especially on this podcast, a lot of the individuals that are listening aren't quite as involved. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what's happened in the last, I guess, like 6 months in the craft beer industry, why it's coming up right now, and then talk a little bit about kind of some changes that hopefully happen in the next 6 months.
Absolutely. And I want to say maybe it was a little over 6 months ago, maybe about 9 months ago. I guess it shouldn't come as any surprise, but women in the beer industry, there were few and far between. And I would say, especially women who are working in the actual brewing aspect in the industry are probably, well, they are, they're not probably, they are more rare, because unless you're owning your own brewery, you're getting your start at another brewery where you are probably the only female in an industry type of a situation. Even a small brewery, you know, it's a very industrial situation. It's a lot of hard work physically. You know, you're carrying heavy bags around, you're doing lots of cleaning, you're getting very dirty, sweaty, whatever. It's not always been super inviting as well, because it can be sort of a boys' club. So about 9 months ago, there was a female brewer who works out on the East Coast. She was at the time working at a brewery called Notch Brewing. And her name is Brianne Allen. And she, on her Instagram one day, her personal Instagram, she just posted a question. Have you ever experienced sexism in the industry? That's it. That's all it said. And I want to say within 2 or 3 days, she had received probably over 5,000 stories. She was 100% overwhelmed on social media, like was not getting any sleep because I'm sure her notifications were just going off. And she kind of took it upon herself. And I give her so much credit. I think this is so awesome because she became the face of this movement. And you know what happens when you become the face of a movement, right? Obviously, you're getting a lot of people who think you're cool and supporting and like think that that's awesome, but you're getting a lot of shit thrown at you, a lot of scary messages, a lot of threats and stuff. But she vowed to post every single one of those stories. And if the people wanted to remain anonymous, she kept them anonymous. And people were calling out breweries left and right. And I became kind of obsessed with reading them, like almost like every night before I went to bed, like I have to read everything that she's posting. And I was just horrified. I knew this shit was happening. I didn't know to what degree. And when you started to read them, unfortunately and fortunately, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it, we did start to see some repeat offenders. But I was also so aghast at some of the accusations that were made against breweries that I was like, shit, like I thought they were cool. Like, what the hell? You know, it's kind of like finding out that your favorite pro athlete is a cheater. You know, I can say, you know, when I was younger, one of my favorite pro athletes ever was Marion Jones. you know? And when she came out as a drug cheat, it literally broke my heart. But I had to say, hey, she broke my heart. You know, that's on her. But I kind of had those similar feelings with some of these breweries. I thought, really? And it really wasn't that these accusations were false. It's just that they had been hidden. Right. And I'm also the kind of person that, especially on a beer level, which is a pretty easy product to boycott, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to make a stand. I'm not going to say something out on social media. I'm not going to get on your social media and post things, but I'm just going to stop buying your product. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, if someone asks me, like, if it's a local product and they ask me, hey, I'm coming to Denver, what breweries should I visit? I'm not going to mention your brewery, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, my husband sometimes gets mad. I mean, he's like, okay, which breweries can I not buy from? You know, like, and I'm like, da, 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 da. I'm right. like, I don't ever want to see those products in my house, you know? but it was, you know, it was called the brewery industry kind of Me Too movement. And it got a lot of people rightfully riled up. And I think it got a lot of people kind of backpedaling and scared, also rightfully. So I think there was micro groups that were starting to sprout up around the United States of women who were getting together and saying, hey, we need to talk about this. And, you know, what the hell are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. So for example, there's a bottle shop / like tap room in the Bay Area called The Good Hop, owned by some women who they put together, an event. They said, come here, you know, women only or non-binary folks, come here, share your stories. Mm-hmm. And it was like a resounding success. Of course, like the next day or 2 days later, someone threw a rock through their window and, you know, all kinds of that. And then here in Denver, we had a big meeting, you know, and the Brewers Guild, I should say the Colorado Brewers Guild, things like that were represented. But a lot of it was like, okay, we're sharing our stories, but now what? Now what? Like, mm-hmm. And how do we get our male counterparts to be true allies? Because I think sometimes, you know, you can say you're an ally, but do you really get it? Mm-hmm. You know? And so that's, you know, kind of was a big surge. That was in late May. And we've got some micro groups. I know within the Colorado Brewers Guild, we've got some groups working on diversity and creating safe spaces at festivals for women, because that was another big area where women workers and women attendees were feeling unsafe, and had a lot of stories like comments and hand grabs or, you know, being grabbed and things like that. But it is really frustrating because you don't know what to do and you don't, you know, I mean, I'm kind of lucky. I'm a little bit on the inside. So I kind of know where to go and where not to support, but it's also not my place to maybe broadcast that. And I don't feel comfortable doing that. Sure. So what are the other ways you can support, you know? And so there are entities out there that are training restaurants and bars and stuff, how to spot this or giving us space for victims who may need, you know, need to seek help and guidance in these situations. The Blue Bench, which is here in Denver, is one of those organizations, but there's others that are worldwide. And some of these places are willing to come to your workplace and help educate and things like that. So I'm kind of leaning that direction and that I want to support those entities.
Absolutely. As a, you know, as a beer drinker, because I do know that probably most of the people listening to this show, with the exception of one owner of Lady Justice, who I know pretty religiously follows along, is probably not involved in the craft beer space, more in the drinker space. First, I'd like to say, like, that was probably the best overview of everything that happened. I know myself personally, like, when all of this kind of came up, is right when Beer Feelings wasn't just an idea anymore. It was a viable business. And I kind of didn't know what to do. Like, you and I had conversations about, like, we want to get more women involved. We want to make it more inclusive. We want to make it flirty and cute. And, like, we kind of talked about, like, we want it to be as accepting as wine. Like, we mm-hmm. want gal pals to call each other and say, let's have a beer tasting instead of let's have a wine tasting.
Absolutely.
And then all of this kind of happened. So, like, for me, I can really only speak for myself at this point, right? Like, when all of these feelings came up, number one, it made me really mad because I felt a lot of those things in other industries.
Absolutely.
It made me disappointed. It was kind of like hearing that, like, Santa wasn't real. Like, I haven't worked at a brewery. I haven't brewed. I haven't worked in the space. Like, I came to this industry out of one that wasn't especially, again, like my personal experience when I was working in corporate America in an industry that I will not name. But part of the reason why, I left is because there were some kind of like creepy older men that said inappropriate things to me. And some of my colleagues believed me and supported me, and some of my colleagues did not. And like, that's part of the reason why I left. And so part of this journey for me and hearing these stories, and like you said, watching thousands of stories be told about this industry, made me on one hand really sad. Like, Santa isn't, yeah, hopefully no child that believes in Santa is listening to this podcast, but like on one hand, it says explicit, don't listen. But like, on one hand was kind of like, this Santa isn't real. And on the other hand was kind of like, this is why, Laura, what you and I are doing is so important to get more women involved. And it doesn't have to be serious, and it doesn't have to be like, I think the educational events are really important, but like, you and I do cute stuff, you know, like, I think just getting more people involved so that there's a broader representation is really important. So that, those are my feelings, everybody, about what happened last year. But I think from a beer drinker standpoint, just to kind of like wrap the episode that we never thought would be an episode up, as a beer drinker, from the male or the female or somewhere in between standpoint, what can consumers of craft beer do to help make this a more welcoming space where individuals both drinking and working feel safe and welcome? What can we do?
I'll speak from two sides. I'll speak from the side of working behind the bar first. One thing that frequently happened, if I would work behind the bar with my brother or another male, we would have certain customers who would not order a beer from me. They just felt that my male coworker knew more. That wasn't always true, but even if it was true, because my brother probably does know a little bit more about the beer styles than I do, I know enough, okay?
Like, you know a lot more than most people. I'll say it.
Like, you know, like, give me a break. And then, you know, also working like at a festival, and this is where things start to get out of hand, right? Because people are pretty drunk at festivals and you don't have as much control over serving them, you know, and they would automatically, you know, a lot of times my husband would help me. And like I said, my husband likes to drink beer. He doesn't know shit about beer. And they would just ask him questions like, oh, you're the owner, blah, blah, blah. He'd be like, no, my wife is like, but I even get comments like, we were at an indoor festival once and it was winter time and I had a sweater on, like a zip up hoodie and a tank top underneath, all branded, right? And in some course of the evening, I took my hoodie off and I was working in my tank top because it got warm. Mm-hmm. And this guy came back to our booth and he says to me, every time I come up here to get a beer, you're wearing less clothes. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
That's like, a bummer.
You're just trying to pour you a beer. I'm smiling. I'm trying to promote my brand. And you just caught me so off guard. And like right now I've got the great response, right? But when you're not expecting that, it was so awkward. And it was so embarrassing. I just thought, ew, gross. Right. Like I was just warm. I'm just wearing a tank top. Like what the hell, you know?
Right.
So I think being respectful, right? And in not assuming that a woman working behind the bar or behind the booth at a festival is just there to pour you beer. Like that might be the owner, that might be the brewer, you know,
right,
whatever. And then I think as a customer, you know, if you see other customers kind of being that way, I think it's always important to, even if you don't speak up to that customer, because I don't really think that's always safe, I think you should always let the bartender know or the server know, hey, I got your back. Like I'm here. Like if something gets out of hand, I'm here. You know, and I also just like to cheekily sometimes just correct people who are being kind of real assholes. I sat at Chain Reaction Brewery's bar a couple of years ago and I was like in my little pink cardigan, you know, and I was just having a beer by myself and this group came in. It was like a happy hour group. They were about 10 of them. And it was so funny at the time. Chain Reaction had like a Belgian Trappel on tap, which is a light colored beer. high ABV.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had some
mess you up.
Yes. Because you're like, oh, it's a light colored beer. No, 9-10%. And they must have had like some sort of brown or amber on. Anyways, one of the men in the group ordered the brown or amber, which was probably like a 5 or 6% beer. And one of the women ordered the Belgian Chapelle. And of course it comes out, it's a blonde looking beer. And the guy kind of gave her shit, like, oh, like you should order a real beer or something like that. You just got like this wussy yellow beer. I don't know exactly what he said.
Oh my God.
I could feel the hair on the back of my neck standing up. So I just turned around in my seat. I was like, you do know her beer is like twice the ABV of your beer, right? And that's all I said. But I was just like, oh my God, like, it's okay if you don't know anything about beer, but don't act like you know something about beer and just to be a jerk, like, you know. So I think, you know, I try to kind of call that shit out, but I think more from a safety point of view, like if you see that someone is kind of stressed out by a customer or something, just let them know, hey, I'm here. Do you need me to call somebody? Do you need me to, you know, whatever, you know. I think that means a lot. And I think that means a lot in any industry, you know.
I would
agree.
Do you
have my back or what, you know?
I don't remember if I talked about this on this podcast or if I was talking about beer on somebody else's podcast. At this point, my 11.5% beer, which is not a Tripel, but it's starting to kick in. So things are getting a little fuzzy in the memory, but it's all right. But I think there's a book out there that it's someday I will read it and I will learn about it, but I've heard a lot about it that basically says something along the lines of like, everything you need to know, you learned in kindergarten, like say please and thank you, practice gratitude, be kind, don't like do something to somebody that you wouldn't want done onto you. Like, I think you're right. I think like where all of this begins to start changing from the beer drinker perspective, if you see somebody being picked on, just tell them like, hey, I think you're pretty neat. I think you're great. If you need help, let me know. And especially like in the festival space, if you see a young female or an old female, any kind of female, or you know, like just a small man, what, like if you see someone that it would be easy to take advantage of them, keeping an eye on them, go have a conversation with them. Like I live with kind of this mentality of being kind is never wrong. If you're operating out of kindness, like you're probably going to be fine. So going up to them and saying, hey, how are you? Are you having a fun time? Do you want to go get some nachos with me? And getting them out of the situation, or even just having a conversation, like having a conversation and being nice to somebody else is never going to be wrong. And I think that absolutely is like capturing kind of what you're explaining, like bartender, especially if she's a female, is getting picked on by some rude jerks, whether they are men or women being rude to her, saying, hey, it seems like you're having a really tough night, but I think you're one of the most amazing bartenders, or even like take it down to neutral. Like, I think you're doing a great job and I really appreciate how hard you're working tonight. Like, that's probably going to turn her day around, whether or not like some of these taboo topics, like being nice to people and including them and saying kind things is never on. So I think that's a great takeaway from this episode that was never meant to be an episode, but just kind of like surfaced, which I think made it so beautiful. So let's unwrap this one. Any final words on women and brewing and everything that's happened in the past year?
I mean, I really just think too, you know, even though we're talking about some of the stuff, I really do think too, from a female point of view, I do want to stress that 99% of the tap rooms out there are safe spaces. And
yes,
I love that I can pretty much go into any brewery tap room by myself, sit at the bar by myself, and I'm going to be treated with dignity and respect from both the customers and the staff. And I don't feel that way about a majority of the bars, that I could just go in by myself, you know. And I love that about the brewery scene. And if you do catch wind of a brewery that's, you know, one of the rotten eggs, then that's fine. Then you choose how you want to do with that information. My choice is that I choose to not support them by word of mouth. I choose to not support them monetarily. you know, it's just kind of like they don't exist to me.
Sure.
And, but I think people have different ways of how they want to deal with that. And I think that's okay as well, you know? So it's obviously a bigger problem than just the beer industry. And so, but you know, when it gets personal, when it gets to be like your industry and it's people, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I guess that digs a little deeper, yeah. you know? So,
yeah. Well, Laura, I'm so excited that we had this conversation. Next week, we are going to talk about hops, I promise. But I think as someone with a platform that connects with women specifically and individuals that like women, I think it was important for us to make space for this conversation and to keep kind of this discussion going about women in beer. How can we make this better? How can we make it fun? How can, like, it doesn't have to be this serious thing. So I'm so glad we had the opportunity to talk about this. I promise, guys, next week we're going to talk about hops. It's going to be great. It's going to, like, Laura's my go-to hops girl. And so definitely tune in next week. You're going to hear more from the two of us. But Laura, thank you so much for joining us this week's show. And real quick, in case people don't listen to next week's episode, if people want to get in touch with you or they want to follow along this new journey that you're beginning, mm-hmm. what's the easiest way that they can do that?
My little business is called Craft Beer Uncovered. So I do have a website. Don't laugh at it yet. It's getting fixed.
It's fine. It's beautiful. It does what it needs to do.
It does what it needs to do. That's true. So that is craftbeeruncovered.com. I also have Instagram, and I believe the email I have set up is cheers@craftbeeruncovered.com. So right now, those are the ways to get a hold of me, and I would love to get the conversation started on any kind of whimsical idea you might have for a partnership or a class.
I'm really looking forward to those breakfast beers. You know? Like,
yeah,
let's do that now.
Yeah, right? So that's probably, yeah, that's the way to get a hold of me. So,
oh my gosh. Well, again, thank you so much for having what I think is a really important conversation. It can get a little uncomfortable. It can get a little like on the outskirts of like, do we talk about this? Do we not? But I think it's really important that we talked about it, and I hope you all enjoyed listening. So we will catch you guys back here next week. We're going to talk about hops. We're going to just demystify the space. And my friends, no matter what you are doing today, I sincerely hope that you are doing it with a great beer in hand and even better people by your side. See you next week, everybody. Cheers.